I'm Molly Wansell.
And I'm Geoffrey Wansell.
And for the last 16 years or thereabouts, we have been having lunch every Saturday, and often our conversation turns to murder.
And that's what's prompted us to launch this true crime podcast called Blood Ties.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Blood Ties podcast. I'm Molly Wansell and I'm here with my father, Geoffrey Wansell.
Hello everyone, welcome back. Thank you as ever for listening. Thank you for keeping on supporting us. We really, really do appreciate it, and we hope that you enjoy what we do. So what have we got in store, Mo, in the next week or three?
I'm going to see some flamenco at Sadler's Wells.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Hmm. I have been to the flamenco festival at Sadler's Wells before. It's really good.
Oh, wonderful. I love it.
That can't go wrong with a bit of good flamenco.
Certainly can't.
They're so hardcore and intense, aren't they? They're really great.
Yeah.
I saw an amazing performance there the year before pandemic. So, looking forward to that.
Oh, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. Now, are we taking a break or not yet?
Oh, yeah, we are taking a break. Are we taking a break after this one? Maybe we are. I know we talked about it, but I can't remember what we said.
Well, I don't mind. I'm
No. I think we did say we would take a break. But it won't be for long.
No, it won't.
But yeah, we'll probably take a break after this one, maybe for like a few weeks, couple of weeks.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. We'll sort that out. We should...
We'll sort it out. Anyway,
didn't put it in my diary.
Yeah, we'll let you all know. I promise. What have I got coming up? No, just more World's Most Evil Killers.
Mm-hmm.
A Channel 5 documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots and lots of books.
Lots of books.
Yeah. And, they swamp me sometimes. They just overwhelm me. Mm. I could have, I review every fortnight for the Daily Mail crime and thrillers, and... I mean, goodness me, it's like a torrent through the front door.
You had friends of the postman.
Yes. Well, you have good postman and bad postman. At the moment, I've got a fairly grumpy one, but I've had a very good one, so, you know, you can't really tell. They changed the routes a bit. But so that's an ever-present in my life. Otherwise, what else? Oh, I'm trying to catch up with lots of things. I'm going to try and watch Anatomy of a Scandal.
Oh yeah, I'll have a look
from
at
Sarah
that.
Vaughan. Sarah Vaughan. I reviewed the book after Anatomy of a Scandal, which is extremely good. And she's very, very talented, and it's a wonderful story. So I'm really keen to see what they've done with it. And Netflix has obviously thrown quite a lot of money at it, so it'll look good.
Yeah, that cast they did.
Yeah. So that's I'm much looking forward to doing that. It's one of the things I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it'd be good to have a look at that too.
Was suggested to us by Sarah on Instagram.
Didn't you say there are two people? Oh no, that was the other one we did. Is just one.
Yeah. And it's the case of a young woman called Holly Gazzard.
Okay, and what are we calling it?
I don't know.
Just Holly Gazzard?
I think it's Holly Gazzard. It's spelled, not incidentally, it's not spelled H-O-L-L-Y, but spelled H-O-L-L-I-E.
Okay, well, here's the case of Holly Gazzard.
In our last podcast, Molly and I were discussing coercion and the control of women by men.
Can be the other way around as well.
It can be the other way around, but more often. And this is a particularly painful case, which painful because it was unnecessary and painful because it was entirely a reflection of a very controlling man. A man who believed women were his possessions, if you like. So let's begin at the beginning. At some point in 2013, Holly Gazzard, who at this point is 19 years old, is working in a bar. part-time, because she's also training to be a hairdresser. And her dream job is to be a hairdresser on a cruise ship. And she has to go through a certain amount of training to get offered a job working on in a salon on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to get a 9-month stint and come back and then go off on another.
It's quite a specific goal, isn't it?
It is, yes.
But fair enough.
Yeah. Well, she lived in Gloucester, where she was born and brought up, which does have docks, but not quite Southampton level docks, much more industrial. But there is a certain smell of sea air if you go to Gloucester, as I had the misfortune on a number of occasions.
Yeah,
to do.
Not for a good reason. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But
a happy reason.
It has a certain kind of a little bit of the Severn estuary feel about it. She's a sparky, pretty. I'm going to encourage Molly to Google her in a mo. A pretty girl. She's got an older sister called Chloe. Like her dad, Nick, she's a Manchester United fan. And she and her dad go to Old Trafford to watch the team. Probably at that point a rather more interesting team to watch than the current Manchester United team, but never mind. In the bar she's working at, she comes across a man called Asher Maslin, sometimes known as Asher Thomas, who's a couple of years older than she is. Well, a year and a bit. And, well, he absolutely targets her. As one of her friends put it later, they fell in love pretty quickly. Well, I think Holly took it very seriously. I think she was, you know, did find him very attractive, and he was very, at the outset at least, engaging. He was gregarious, talkative, bit of a Jack the Lad, you know, really confident. So she takes Maslin to meet her mum and dad, Nick and Mandy. Now, Mandy is a school dinner lady. And she's met Maslin before. And she also knows that he has something of a reputation as being a bad boy. But nevertheless, she doesn't want to, you know, upset her daughter. And obviously she tells her husband, Nick, about it. And Nick was to say afterwards, he had a bit of a reputation as a bad boy, but I'm all for giving people a second chance. What a very generous and dignified thing to say, given what was to happen. Holly gets the offer of the cruise ship, but by now, Maslin is exercising extraordinary control. He's bombarding her with text messages, phone calls, the lot. She goes away, gets on the cruise ship, but within a week, he's convinced her that she's not going to be happy and she must come home and see him at once. And so she rings her dad up and he helps to fly her home. There's no question that her dad believed that Maslin persuaded her to come home. It was certainly evidence of what looked to them, to Holly's mum and dad, as coercive control.
Mm.
When Holly gets back from the cruise ship, Maslin is every bit as possessive as he was before she left. The same bombarding text messages, the same, I want to know where you are. He wouldn't leave her alone. He wanted to know where she was, what she was doing every moment of the day. If she went out with her girlfriends, he would turn up. It was that kind of really creepy stalking. Really, I think that's the only thing you can honestly call it. If she went from one nightclub to another nightclub with a girlfriend, he would follow her. And remember, too, that Maslin's a big, strong man.
She looks very little.
She's really small.
Petite.
And petite in every way.
Sort of fragile looking.
Yeah. Anyway, within a couple of months of getting back from the aborted cruise job, she gets a job in a salon in London. And Maslin suggests that they both live at his cousin's house because his cousin got a house in London.
Okay.
Holly's mum and dad, she takes the job, and you know, and Holly's mum and dad decide to go down and take her out for lunch or supper or, you know. And they overhear him on Holly's phone saying, "Don't let them take you away from me." Not long after that, Maslin and Holly went back to Gloucester to celebrate her mum's birthday, Mandy's birthday. Mm-hmm. And Maslin drank too much. And, well, I could say revealed what was going on underneath the surface. Her dad, Nick, was to say later, he spoke to her like a piece of dirt. And clicked his fingers, told her what to do.
She's so young. She's like 19.
Well, just, yeah. And matters came to a head at the Notting Hill Carnival in August 2013, where she'd gone with Maslin and his family, and they got separated. You know what the Notting Hill Carnival is.
I've actually not been for that very reason, but yeah.
It's so crowded.
Yeah. And it's literally my idea of hell.
They get separated. Holly gets separated from Maslin and his family because, for perfectly reasonable reason, she's taking his nephew to the loo.
Mm.
When Maslin finds her, he knocks her down. I think it's not the final straw, but a straw. And she leaves the job in London and goes back home to Gloucester. As I'm afraid you will obviously suspect,
he goes too.
Maslin follows her. And persuades her to take him back. But he's just as possessive as he had been. Constantly phoning her, texting her, even at night. He was fixated on her, her dad was to say later. By Christmas 2013, Holly wanted it out. She wanted to leave. This was not working for her, but he refused to accept it. On Valentine's Day 2014, Holly took Maslin out to a public place, a restaurant, in which she to tell him that their relationship was over. He follows her to her car and says she has a cold heart, steals her bank card and proceeds to take £300 out of an ATM on her bank card. Maslin then bombarded her with more texts, including one which said, "Give me a ring now or this bat is going to hit your dad's head." Nick, of course, she phoned her dad. And Nick said, "Tell the police. It's all you can do. You must do it at once." She did. On the 16th of February, 2 days after Valentine's Day, she told them that Maslin had been threatening and on a number of occasions, that he threatened to throw acid at her, that Maslin's family, would get her if she broke up with him. It's an act of the most concerted horror, really. In that period, just after 2016, he sent Holly a text which read, I don't want to get blacking violent as I'll take it too far. And he also sent a text 2 days later on the 18th of February to her sister's partner, Chloe's partner, saying, I warned you. Just before 6 o'clock, on the evening of February the 18th, 2014, Holly is cutting hair in the Fringe Benefits Salon in Southgate Street in Gloucester. Having told the manageress of the salon that she's worried that Maslin is going to turn up and don't cause a scene, just phone the police. That's what Holly's advice was. Anyway, the manageress sees Maslin arrive, nods at him and goes to the back of the shop to phone the police. As she's doing so, there's a tremendous commotion. Holly is at the front of the shop at the reception desk and Maslin stabbed her 14 times with a steel kitchen knife that he's just bought, having traded in his DVD player to afford it. She dies before she gets to hospital. She bleeds out. Maslin walks out of the salon. It takes barely 2 minutes for this attack to take place.
Mm.
Walks out of the salon. The customers, there are other customers there, are stunned. Some of them start trying to film it on their, you know, mobiles. He drops the knife in a nearby building site and disappears. The police were to say later that they had attempted to find him between February the 16th and February the 18th, but hadn't been able to. We'll return to that in a moment. Can you imagine the scene in that perfectly ordinary, nice, it was partly also a beauty salon, I think, called La Bella Beauty, as well as Fringe Benefits hairdressing. Well, not surprisingly, Maslin is not, you know, Professor Moriarty. It doesn't take him the police very long to find him. And he's duly arrested. And indeed, ultimately, charged with Holly's murder. It was only after the killing that Holly's family of Mandy and Chloe, her sister, discovered that Maslin had a history of domestic abuse, GBH. He was a serial offender and he'd done this to women before. But when it came to trial in July 2014, not long, it didn't need to take long, it was a straightforward case, there were lots of witnesses.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about the need to get the CSIs involved.
No,
it's not much. Maslin showed absolutely no remorse or regret and was given a whole, I was given a life term with a minimum of 24 years at Gloucester Crown Court. The judge said, the number of stab wounds on a defenceless young woman show that this was a merciless killing. Well, indeed it was. As ever, the judge got it absolutely right. Holly was a bright, enthusiastic, wonderful young woman. And as her father said, and I think in a wonderful interview he gave to the Sun, he said, I will always remember that. There has been a documentary about the case. The Independent Police Complaints Commission investigated the fact that Gloucester Police didn't take the threat to Holly seriously enough. Two officers and a call handler were considered, but in the end, Independent Police Complaints thought that they were only investigating the theft of the bank card and they weren't taking the domestic threats seriously. We should also remember that this is 2014. We've come a long way in the 8 years since.
Yeah.
And we're much, much more aware of that sort of thing. But in the report on the police's conduct, they said the systems were failing. There wasn't a system which allowed that consideration to come to the fore, to be at the top of the pile. I think it's fair to say that the parents were aware that the police could have done more than they did, but they didn't, and sadly it cost them a daughter. And to their eternal credit, and I do urge you, if you Google Holly Gazzard, you will find that they've started a foundation in her name, the Holly Gazzard Foundation, to help the victims of stalkers. And my sympathies are entirely with them. They have acted in the most dignified way. When some other families lose it completely, they've been really determined and in many ways miraculously kind to the man who took their daughter's life for no reason other than his need to control. It is a terribly sad, but unfortunately only too familiar story now. You know, the danger that women come under is far greater than we sometimes consider carefully. And that I think Holly Gazzard's case is a very good example of that one.
Absolutely.
Perfectly innocent, bubbly, enthusiastic, gregarious young woman falls into the hands of a man who is controlling, manipulative, and in the end, murderous. It's our old friend, be careful, isn't it?
But then, you know, that goes back to my argument of like, and, you know, we've talked about this lots of times. It's like, and I know there's a lot being done about it now, but, you know, sort of systemic violence towards women is just, why is it acceptable?
It isn't.
Why does it, it goes so far back as to why.
Yes.
You know. It happens.
Well, you have the episode at Charing Cross Police Station, for example, the revelations of the misogyny. But
it's just, you know, it's just we teach our women that they need to protect themselves, but we teach our men that they can be violent, do we? I don't know. I think we probably do.
Or even implicitly we do.
Yeah.
You know, we'll probably turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
Or she asked for it, or...
Exactly. She put herself in the way of it, but they're never held responsible.
I don't think Holly Gazzard put herself in the way of anything.
No, she was just a young girl, a young woman,
yes,
wanting to fall in love. You know, it's so sad that, you know, it's so sad that we even go into relationships thinking like, is this a game? Is this thing? And have these terms, you know, these terms... breadcrumbing, gaslighting, love bombing, da 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 da. Like all of these, we have to analyze every aspect of what should be something pure because people take advantage of love and of loving feelings.
But I would not describe...
They manipulate them.
I would not describe Maslin as loving in the slightest.
That he's manipulating her loving feelings.
Yes, that I would agree with.
And that's what I mean, is that those terms are used against people who are setting out to hurt people.
Yes.
But they're not doing it through a traditional sense of meanness, as it were. So it's not... You can't identify it because it's so confusing. So you say one day, I love you so much, you're the best thing, I can't be without you, never leave me, da 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 da. And the next day be like, you're so awful because you even tried to this, and, you know, you're messing around with...
Yeah.
And it's like love makes you so vulnerable anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there speaks a woman who knows.
Well, I'm certainly a woman who sees relationships as confusing, and you can be muddled by them.
Mm. I would say even someone of my age can be muddled. I don't think it's
so. If you get into a situation where it's with someone who's ready to manipulate, you can be in real trouble.
You can.
I mean, this is the most stark example.
This is the starkest example of it. But you know, there are all sorts of gradations.
But yeah, lots of gradations.
Yeah. Yeah. Where have you been? What are you doing tonight? Do you have to go out? Why can't I come with you? All those.
Yeah. Completely taking over a person's life.
Yeah.
It's just so sad.
Oh dear. I find that very sad case.
Very sad.
But on the other hand, incredibly contemporary in that it highlights.
And like, thank goodness we are putting more laws in place to protect women against this kind of thing. Mm. And men, because it can happen the other way around.
Yes, yes.
But we just need to be so conscious of it, you know. And maybe it hasn't happened for so long because people, you know, they don't want to think that love isn't real, or isn't founded on a pure set of values. But unfortunately, it just isn't for so many people.
No, it isn't always, that's for sure. Well, let's not end on a depressed note.
Let's not.
Let's try and end.
Let's not dwell on that,
darling. On saying, you know, spring is here or approaching, and
the sun's out,
and
guns out,
and you know, let's.
The blossom in London is very beautiful at the moment.
It is.
I live in the sort of the slightly rougher end of a really beautiful neighbourhood in London called De Beauvoir. Yeah. And there's a road called North Church Road, which is basically pedestrianised. You can only cycle cars down it. It has bicycles. It has some cars, but you can't go all the way anyway. And it has these amazingly beautiful houses, you know, the sort of houses you dream of living in, with, you know, double-fronted villas with pale-coloured duck egg blue front doors and people who've lived in them and bought them for, you know, 60,000 back in 1984.
I bought a house in De Beauvoir in 1971.
I know you did, I know. But but it is the most beautiful road, and it has the most amazing blossom at the moment.
Yes.
It's really,
yeah,
really.
So, you know, let's celebrate the blossom rather than the darkness.
Yes, sure. Well, thank you, Dad. And thank you to all the people that help us, to our producer, Sam Brain, to my brother, Dan, who did the music, my friend, George, who drew our caricature, to Jeffrey, who does all the hard work. And to you, the listeners, thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you to you, Molly, who thought up this idea 4 or 5 years ago. And we've been doing it, by and large, ever since. Much to my delight. So please do take care and be careful out there.